Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Hey, everybody, I'm Mark Schanowski, along with one of the NBA's most popular analysts, Stacey King. We're inviting you to join us on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast.
So join us every week here in the Hot Sauce Studios, where we'll be talking about basketball, football, MMA, entertainment, and unique viewpoints from a group of sports experts having a few brews. That's right. Listen up on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Live from the Play Show Yet Not Overly Ostentatious Studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Stuart Kovacs, got Ryan Botcher, Big Mike CBS rocking and rolling with me all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Malik Washington, who led the NCAA this year in receptions, he's going to stop by, NFL draft prospect, 20 minutes from now out of Virginia. And then in the final hour of the show, the great Phil Sims is going to join us at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. So, Samter, when we start the show, I usually start the show by giving the phone number out, saying where you could get at us on social media. We now have a TikTok, so you will see some big-time, I was going to say dance moves, but that's not true. So some big-time takes from your boy, because Samter thought it was imperative to get us on TikTok, and I did wholeheartedly agree. I was trying to kick that can down the road as long as possible, but we are now on TikTok. Is there a way to promote the TikTok outside of just telling people to go follow our TikTok page, which is what?
Yeah, it's just simple enough, The Zach Gelb Show. So it's TikTok.com/@TheZachGelbShow, or go to TikTok and search The Zach Gelb Show, and you'll see some fantastic content. Zach dancing in his underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Stu doing some really inappropriate Macarena moves with or without a shirt. So, like, we'll find some fun stuff on there.
By the way, I never realized how much I was on TikTok, because I've never downloaded the TikTok app. I've just used the Reels like function on Instagram or Facebook, where there would be TikToks that would be uploaded through there. And then once you go down that rabbit hole, you would start to see them. But ever since Samter created the Zach Gelb Show TikTok page for me, I have searched my name to go find the actual account. And there are a lot of Zach Gelb Show clips already on TikTok from viral things that we've done, rants and interviews and all that jazz. So the TikTok portion of the internet has been big fans of the Zach Gelb Show. Anyway, wow. That was quick. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Someone's already brought up what the sensitive Shepherd, David Shepherd, had to say about your boy last night on the Bart Winkler Show. Don't worry, gentlemen. We will, and ladies, we will get to that later on in the show. But I got to start off with another big-time performance, even though it's in the NBA regular season, which is not a big-time event. But Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets, the defending world champions, are going up against a team with the preeminent record in the NBA in the Boston Celtics last night. And the Denver Nuggets found a way to win the game, and not only found a way to win the game, death taxes and Nikola Jokic registering a triple-double, which he did last night once again, where the Joker goes for 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists. I said something pretty much in passing from one segment to the next on this show a few weeks ago, and now I want to circle back to it. What Nikola Jokic is to the NBA is what Patrick Mahomes is to the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is now a three-time world champion. Patrick Mahomes is now a two-time NFL MVP. And Patrick Mahomes is unstoppable right now. He's the face of the sport, and his passing ability and the way he throws the football, you may think you could have a team like the Kansas City Chiefs down and out, like when the Texans were up all those points, 20-something points in a playoff game, when the 49ers, the first Super Bowl, were up 10 with 7.5 to play, when the Eagles were up 10 at halftime, when the Bills were up with 13 seconds to go. And even when you think you have Mahomes, you don't have Mahomes. And this year illustrated that more than ever, because this year, compared to all the other years, what did we say about the NFL? It is as open as ever, and the Chiefs aren't expected to win it. So if you don't beat the Chiefs now, when are you going to beat them? And I will give credit to my producer extraordinaire, who is a Fugazi Kansas City Chiefs fan, because he rooted the first like 42, 43 years of his life for the New York Jets. And then once Rodgers went down with the Achilles injury, he's like, I can't take the pain, the suffering, and all the heartache, so I'm going to go join the bandwagon of the best team in the NFL and the next NFL dynasty, as they were on a cusp of becoming an NFL dynasty. And we know that they ended up being an NFL dynasty this year with their third world championship. But Samter put all of his loyalty into the basket of the Kansas City Chiefs. And even when it got ugly, and even when it was doom and gloom, where the Chiefs lost to the lowly Raiders, Samter not only doubled down, he tripled down, he quadrupled down, and he kept on saying, until someone takes down the Kansas City Chiefs, I will not believe that someone else is going to be a world champion this year when it comes to the NFL. And when we look at the NBA this season, knowing that the NFL just went through something similar, where it was open, the defending champion was not a lock to get back to the finals, was not a lock to win another world championship, even though they have the best player and the most unstoppable player in the sport right now, and everything was there for the taking. We know what Kansas City did, and now I sit here, and I said this 3 weeks ago, and I'll say it again. Until someone takes down Denver in a seven-game series, and that's the big difference here. At least in the NFL, you could lose, right? It's a one game and you're done. So you could have an off night, and we've seen that before where a team is like an all-time great team. They have an off night, and they lose and their season's over. But in the NBA, you have some insurance because one loss is not going to kill you. Heck, you could lose three times in a series just as long as you find a way to get to four wins before the other team does in a best of seven. You'll find a way to survive in advance. But the way that I look at Denver right now, in an NBA where you see the Boston Celtics, they've been close, but they haven't got the job done yet. You look at the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that I love with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I had high hopes for heading into the season with the great Dame Lillard and it being Dame Dolla time. But now bringing in Doc Rivers, he doesn't, I know he has an NBA championship, but he doesn't really inspire confidence in a roster and inspire belief in yours truly in the year of 2024. So that's just the Eastern Conference, because Cleveland, Orlando, the Knicks, they're nice stories. The Sixers are without Embiid, but nice stories don't always result in you representing your team in the NBA championship. Like right now in the East, the only teams I could see getting to the NBA Finals are the Celtics, the Bucks, and then I will give the benefit of the doubt to the Miami Heat, because the Heat ceiling is just getting to a final, but they won't win it with this group. So the NBA is wide open. And then you delve into the Western Conference, and you just had the cat injury with Minnesota. Oklahoma City's had a phenomenal season, but I can't say I trust them to go win multiple playoff series this year. The Clippers, if they're healthy, and that's a big if, they could be a force, but you know, I know Kawhi Leonard's a great finisher. The other guys on the roster, not so much. I can't trust the Pelicans. The Suns, I don't think they ever get on the same page. I liked what the Kings were doing, but they haven't been as dominant as they were the year before. The Dallas Mavericks, yeah, they have Luka. And the Warriors and the Lakers are a non-factor. So I look at the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and nobody blows you away. No one, you look at them and you say, they are the team and they're going to be so much better than everybody else. So you go through this and you look at Denver, who's currently one game out from the number one seed in the Western Conference. They're 43-20. They have Nikola Jokic. You have Jamal Murray. It is the perfect dynamic duo in the NBA. And now we are in the Batman and Robin era of the NBA. And this is going to be a team, as long as they stay healthy with their two best players in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, they're about to do what the Kansas City Chiefs did this past football season, where Nikola Jokic is Patrick Mahomes and Jamal Murray is Travis Kelce. Where just as long as Travis Kelce is healthy, just as long as Jamal Murray is healthy, you know those two players were going to step up and they were going to shine in the biggest moments. And we saw that with Kelce. You'll eventually see it with Jamal Murray. But you get back to Nikola Jokic and Patrick Mahomes, I think both those guys right now, pound for pound, are the most unstoppable athletes in the sports world. And I know people are going to say, what about Otani? What about Connor McDavid? Well, there's certain checklists here. And yes, just like Otani, I mean, just like Mahomes, just like Nikola Jokic, you know, McDavid and Otani in their respective sports are one of one. But last time I checked, Connor McDavid hasn't hoisted a Stanley Cup. We've never seen Shohei Otani get to a postseason series. And I get it. Dodgers fans, this is supposed to be your year, right? Here comes the Dodgers, loaded with talent. But we won't see Otani pitch this year because of the Tommy John. Now, if I'm not a big spring training guy, but we've seen he could still put the ball into the seats and put it back, gone to honor and pay homage a little bit to the great Chris Berman. But I look at Nikola Jokic and Patrick Mahomes. They are very similar. The only difference is Mahomes has won multiple championships. Nikola Jokic has not yet. But after this season, I really do believe that the similarities and the comparisons with what Mahomes is to the NFL is what Nikola Jokic is going to start to be to the NBA. There's one difference, one little difference, and I'll get to that in just a second. But you look at the passing of Jokic, you don't know how to stop him. You want to just let him go get 45 points a night and try to take away his rebounds and assists? Okay, good luck. And then if you try to take away his assists, like he'll just go there and he'll dominate your scoring. And if you want to try to limit his scoring, then he thrives off passing the basketball. Like, I don't know how to stop this guy. I really don't. There's no way to stop Nikola Jokic right now. Just like there's no way to stop Patrick Mahomes. And we just saw Mahomes go through the back-to-back thing. Now we're looking to see Nikola Jokic do it. And there's not a team standing in the way right now where I go, yeah, Denver should be shaking in their boots about this team. So these similarities will continue. The only difference, I think, is right now, without question, Patrick Mahomes is the face of the NFL. I think if we open up the conversation, who's the face of the NBA? If I took 10 phone calls on it, you could argue that you would get 10 different answers. Because you have the old guard of a LeBron James, who probably a lot of people would still identify as the face of the NBA, but he's starting not to slow down from a production standpoint, but his body is starting to slow down a little bit. Kevin Durant, he is now kind of marinated in that guy. When he tries to be the guy, he can't get the job done. And the whole Charles Barkley conversation, you know, some could say it's Embiid. Some could say it's Steph Curry. Some could say it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Maybe some say it's Jason Tatum. Like, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, I don't know. But Nikola Jokic, the only thing is, I don't know how much he wants to be the face of the NBA. Like, that guy won a championship last year and put on a dominant performance. And it looked like he was just ready to, he didn't look like it, he even said it, that he just wanted to go home and what, hang out with the horses, I think it was, or something like that, whatever line he gave. So that's the one difference. And Mahomes, because of the way he plays, he's the face of the NFL. I don't know how much Mahomes embraces being the face of the NFL. I think he just understands it's been pointed and he's been anointed as the face of the NFL. So you kind of have to accept it. I don't think Nikola Jokic has been appointed yet the face of the NBA, but he could definitely turn into it, because when you keep on winning and you keep on dominating, that's when you become polarizing, because 50% of the people will love you and 50% of the people will hate you, and they hate you just because it's just marinated in a jar of jealousy. So Jokic and Mahomes, are they the two most unstoppable athletes in sports right now? When I look from championships, production, and just having the certain ability to do something that no one else has, it's check, check, check. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Joining us on the other side, this man led the country last year at Virginia in receptions. He just came off a massive NFL combine, and he's gearing up for the NFL draft at the end of April. Wide receiver Malik Washington will join us next.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Hey, everybody, I'm Mark Schanowski, along with one of the NBA's most popular analysts, Stacey King. We're inviting you to join us on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast.
So join us every week here in the Hot Sauce Studios, where we'll be talking about basketball, football, MMA, entertainment, and unique viewpoints from a group of sports experts having a few brews. That's right. Listen up on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Malik Washington spent 4 years at Northwestern, and then he transferred over to Virginia, and he had a monster season in his final year in college football. He led the nation in receptions with 110 of them, then had 1,426 yards and 9 receiving touchdowns, 10 games this year, breaking the 100-yard receiving mark. And he just put up monster results at the NFL Combine, and he's getting set to find out where his name is going to be called in the NFL draft that comes your way in Detroit at the end of April. And Malik Washington is kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Malik, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. Congrats on all the success, and how you been?
Of course, man. I'm happy to be here. It's kind of, you know, we're still in the process, that pre-draft process, so trying to figure everything out. Take it one day at a time, but I'm blessed to be here right now.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So when you hear that you led the NCAA in receptions this past year, and that's how you went out with a bang, how did you kind of, end up accomplishing those things this year, knowing the journey and all the hard work and all the changes that you've had to go through?
Yeah, I mean, I set a lot of goals. I knew what I wanted and stuff in this process. Transferring over to Virginia, I kind of had like an idea. And of course, like I just surpassed those ideas. I surpassed those goals. I was able to do things, you know, I didn't even imagine myself doing. So it's a big credit to the people I was around, the coaching staff and the guys I was with that led me to this position.
You look back at your season, I just said it a few moments ago, in 10 games this year, you broke the 100-yard receiving mark, so there was an incredible amount of consistency. When you're just in the zone like that, you know, midway through the season, towards the end of the season, when was it when you said, it doesn't matter who they put out there in front of me, I know I'm just going to find a way to dominate on the field?
Yeah, we so week two, we played JMU, and I went for like 119. And I followed it up with Maryland. I had like 141, and I was like, all right, I'm starting to get to a point where if we just keep giving me the ball, I'm going to break 100 every single time, every single game. So I had a disappointing one versus Boston College. I had 97. So without that, if you, you know, plus 3 yards there, that's 11 games over 100. So that would have been everything. And that would have been like consistent 11 games in a row. So, anyway, I mean, I would say after Maryland, I kind of just assumed like if I got the ball, I was going to go for 100.
Talking to Malik Washington right now. So you just know how this process works. When you look back at what happened at Northwestern and now with what you did at Virginia, some people are going to say, well, is this just like a one-hit wonder? Why are you going to be able to translate this success that you had in your final season at Virginia to go on and have a solid NFL career?
Yeah, well, I don't understand the one-hit wonder notion or anything like that. I had production my junior and senior year at Northwestern. We didn't score a lot of touchdowns. So, mm-hmm. like, of course, I didn't score a lot of touchdowns. I want to say, like, our leading receiver that had the most touchdowns had, like, two, maybe three. So it was like, I don't really understand the notion of the production and all that stuff and the one-hit wonder. I think I've been excelling each or increasing each and every year. So from my junior year to senior year to this last senior year, it's been on a steady incline. So as I enter the league, I trust and expect that to continue on the trend.
Was the combine, now you had big results, but leading up to the combine, was there just some natural stress there? Because like what I just said, people just look at the stats and then, you know, I've seen you play, so it's a little bit different, but sometimes people lose context and they just judge what you do at the combine. So was that time leading up to the combine a little bit stressful, knowing how much on the line for your stock it potentially did mean?
Oh my God, it was super anxious. It was super stressful. Just knowing that I knew I had some expectations, especially being a guy from, you know, not big football schools and everybody's trying to figure it out. And then they're saying he's 5'8" and all this stuff. So I knew I had to get in there. I had to go run. I had to run well. I had to jump well. I had to show off in the position drills and stuff like that. And like, I didn't even, there was numbers that I wanted to hit that I just didn't hit. And I know I can hit, but all the nerves and all the anxious feelings come out when you're lined up on that white line about to run your 40. So of course I'm proud of my showing there, but I know I could do so much better.
Could you do better on the vertical? Cause I saw that came in at a 42.5.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that. I really hit my mark then. I PR'd there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just saw that all on social media when you did your vertical jump. Everyone was just like, wow, it was the eyeball emoji that was just going all over social media. I think it was like the 98th percentile or something like that I read.
Yeah, I definitely hit my PR there.
So let me ask you this then, as Malik Washington is here with us, just led the NCAA in receptions this past year. What is someone getting with you as a football player? Like if someone's never seen your game before, they end up drafting you coming up in April, if it's a second, third round, whatever it may be, what is a fan getting when their team drafts Malik Washington?
I mean, they're getting exactly what they want, an ultimate competitor, somebody that's going to fight, whether it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter. You won't even be able to tell if you cut on the film, because that's just somebody that I'm going to show up every single play. I'm like a gnat, man. Yeah, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to go down, and I'm going to get right back up, and I'm going to be there all game. So I think you're going to get the ultimate competitor. You're going to get someone who's going to show up for you, who's going to be consistent, who's going to be reliable, and someone that's going to move the sticks. And then that's a big part of the game. That's a big part of offense. Can you move the sticks? Can you get in the end zone? I think I'll be able to provide that.
When people say, hey, you're 5'8", you're too small, like, does that just annoy you and motivate you? Because when I watch you play, you break tackles, you're more physical than what your size would suggest, and you also weigh in a little over 190 pounds. So as people have been telling you in life, oh, you're too short to play wide receiver, did that kind of burn a little fire in your tummy and make you play a little bit angrier?
Dude, I've become tone deaf to the too short comments. Really, what gets me now is you're built like a running back. You ever thought about playing running back? that gets me, man. Because I'm like, bro, I play receiver. I can run routes. I can catch the ball. Like, I feel like I'm one of the best pass catchers there is in college football. So it's like, I don't want to hear you tell me that I should be playing running backs when running backs are known for not being able to catch the ball. So for me, it's getting over that hump of people saying you're built like a running back or, and all of this and that. I think, man, I'm just a football player. I go out there and make plays.
And the crazy part is when you watch you, like I had to do a double take at the height. I'm like, he doesn't look like he plays like he's 5'8". You look like you play a lot bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap it up with Malik Washington. So after the draft, like after the combine, excuse me, there's all these crazy projections. Like you think you've solidified being a second round pick now? Because you know, I see a lot of people saying, hey, you could be a second round pick. And then if you get them, you know, get Malik in round three, it's going to be totally a steal of the draft.
I mean, that stuff, it's so hard to keep up with, especially with the media. Some guys are going to like me, some guys aren't. So on some guys' boards, I'm going to be in the fifth, sixth round. And some people are going to be like, we got to get this guy in the second, third round. So it's kind of up in the air. You never really know. I especially don't know what NFL teams are thinking. So that's what makes this process so long, so nerve-wracking and stuff like that. I won't find out until April 27th, something around there. So it's a long process, and I can't wait to see where I end up.
Growing up as a kid, who were some football players that you really loved watching? Who were some of your idols on the football field?
I couldn't cut off Michael Vick. I couldn't stop watching all the miraculous things that he did, just running the football. And I mean, I used to watch his games. Like I would watch his highlights before. I didn't even play quarterback at the time, but I was watching his highlights just to see how to break tackles and stuff like that. I watch a lot of Tyrann Mathieu, Steve Smith, a lot of Jarvis Landry, guys like that. You know, if you put all those guys together, you get tough. You get an attitude that nobody else has, and you get that competitive nature that I talked about a little bit earlier. I think those players really embodied that, and I had to look up to them when I was younger.
Who are some quarterbacks in the league right now that if you got drafted by that team, it would really excite you? You'd be like, man, I can't believe I'm playing with this or that quarterback.
I think the coolest guy in the league, I watch his page, see how he dresses, all this type of stuff, is Kyler Murray. I think he's really cool. And what does he do? Like, he scrambles around. And I think I'm really good at being like improvising and getting open when the quarterback's in trouble and stuff like that. So I feel like I could be a good outlet. You also talk about Bryce Young is one of those guys as well. Guys that just, I feel like, you know, kind of fit me, and they're shorter guys. So they kind of know where I'm coming from, what I'm talking about when we're in the locker room and stuff like that.
Yeah. And both those guys, they're doubted. Like Bryce Young was the guy last year, number one pick, didn't have a good rookie season. Now people are wondering what he could be as a quarterback. And Kyler, we're going to see a full year of him this season coming off the injury. So both those teams could use a wide receiver. So it seems like it's a match to me.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Well, hey, Malik, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. Good luck, and hopefully we hear your name called nice and early in the NFL draft at the end of April.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
There you go. You got it. Malik Washington joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Really cool story there after starting his career at Northwestern, which is not this great offensive university, and then goes to Virginia. And I know the team didn't have a great successful season, but him individually, man, to make an impression was very, very, very impressive, leading the nation in receiving, going over the 1,400-yard mark. So best of luck to him as we start to interview more and more guys as we get set for the NFL draft at the end of April. I'll tell you, I was not expecting, when I asked the question of who were some guys in the NFL quarterbacks that you'd be like really fired up to play with, I wasn't expecting Kyler Murray, and I wasn't expecting Bryce Young. Like, Samter, wouldn't you think that if I asked that question, the generic answer would probably be, oh, I want to play with Mahomes, Rodgers, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, like C.J. Stroud. Like, I'm talking about the 4-5, Lamar Jackson, the 4-5 best quarterbacks in the game. I was never expecting Bryce Young or Kyler Murray to be mentioned.
It kind of reminds me of a couple days ago when J.J. McCarthy was listing his three favorite receivers to throw to, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba was one of them, and Devontae Adams. He's naming receivers on teams that he hopes will draft him, the Raiders, the Seahawks. So maybe he's thinking, listen, the Panthers have an early first, a second round pick. The Cardinals have the fourth pick, and they obviously have later picks and, you know, early second, third round picks as well. and they are two teams that need wide receivers. So he's naming quarterbacks of teams that he wants to draft him.
Yeah, and as much as we like Malik, right, he's not going fourth overall in the draft. But I think the Cardinals become very intriguing in at four, especially if it goes quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. You could take Marvin Harrison Jr. at four, or you could trade back, get some future first-round picks again. And if you fall back a few spots and you land a Roma Dunze out of Washington or Malik Nabers out of LSU, you know, even though I love Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think there's a bigger fan of Marvin Harrison Jr. when it comes to his NFL prospects than yours truly. But if you pick up an extra first-round pick and there is a small difference between those players, then, you know, maybe something to think about for Arizona as they're still building that team. But I can't, you know, that's someone that we haven't talked about a lot. I can't wait to see what Kyler Murray's going to do this year, because it seems like the stock of Kyler Murray really did plummet, and he still got paid. And then at the end of last season, people were like, okay, maybe this is a team to watch, but they need more talent. They got to get him some wide receivers.
We'll just say this. They have the fourth pick, the 27th pick, the 35th pick. Yeah. So they have three picks
from the Texans
top 30. Deal. Yep, in the top 35, including a top five pick. So they're setting themselves up pretty well to do some stuff.
Yeah. Lyman, receiver. Lyman, receiver. Probably what's going to happen. Oh, what a pleasant surprise this is on a Friday. I don't know if I like his hat, but I do like his CBS Sports Radio updates. And we'll get to one in just a second. But before we do that, let me just tell you, when we come on back, we'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. That is called the News Brief. But first up, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here he is, Pat Boyle. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's hear from Mike Evans. Did a little press conference after signing that new contract extension with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he was asked about Baker Mayfield, who is on the verge of getting ready to embark on potentially a free agency tour.
You said, I want to play with an elite quarterback. Do you view Baker as an elite quarterback?
Absolutely. It's on record that I've played with, you know, many quarterbacks throughout my career. So, you know, that doesn't matter. Whoever the quarterback is, he's an NFL quarterback. But yeah, me and Baker, we have a really good connection. And I think he's an elite quarterback.
I like Baker. I can't call Baker Mayfield an elite quarterback, though. He is anywhere in that range of an above average to good quarterback. Now, if you just look at the stats for Baker Mayfield this past year, when it comes to passing the football, Baker Mayfield was number 9 in passing yards. When it comes to completion percentage, Baker Mayfield wasn't even in the top 10. How about passing touchdowns? This is the one that I think surprises people. Baker Mayfield had the 7th most passing touchdowns in the league this year. And when you hear the number, you would think in a league that's so passing heavy, it would be more. It's only 28 passing touchdowns. But the point is with Baker, he puts up good numbers. The problem with Baker is when he had that year in Cleveland, his final year in Cleveland, he suffered that injury in week one, week two, and we didn't know how much of the play was reflected just because he took a big step back or it was because of the injury. Then he goes to Carolina. It was a rush to Carolina, and you knew that coaching staff was on the hot seat. And not only that, he got there so late, and that failed. Then he goes and salvages, right, the reputation in a minor way in the few starts that he had with the LA Rams with Sean McVay. But then this past year in Tampa Bay, he wasn't phenomenal. He wasn't great. He wasn't excellent. He wasn't superb. He wasn't elite, but he did a good job. And Tampa Bay, you don't have to bend over backwards here, but you should find a good team-friendly deal for both parties that keeps him as the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's go to Max Crosby. We all know Antonio Pierce was talking about these Mahomes rules that had Stuart Kovacs ready to run through a wall for his head football coach, while Max Crosby discussed the Mahomes rules.
You know, people are sensitive these days, you know, take things out of context. But at the end of the day, if we want to win, we got to take him down. So we're not shy about that. He knows every time I play him and every time I see him, I'm trying to ruin his day. So, yeah, you know, people can take that whatever they want or whatever, but he knows I'm coming for him. It's the same. I'm on that energy every time, and I know my teammates are as well. It's not malicious or whatever. You know, people try to say we're trying to purposefully injure or whatever. It's a bunch of BS. You know, we play the game the right way, but we play with ill intent, and we play violent and fast, and we plan on doing that for the years to come.
Yeah, that's the problem with football. You have a physical, malicious, violent sport, and then people say things that are physical, and people are like, hold on, wait a second, you crossed the line, you can't say that. I don't think Antonio Pierce, when he said what he said, and I said this at the time, crossed any line. I don't think they're going out there looking to, like, break Patrick Mahomes' arm or tear his ACL, but they are looking to inflict pain, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're going out there to tackle the quarterback and make the quarterback's life a living hell. Here is the play-by-play of the Anthony Edwards amazing game-saving block last night, this courtesy of the Warriors Radio Network.
The free throw is up. It is no good. The rebound of the Pacers. They don't call a timeout. Halliburton, the hit ahead. Neesmith with it. Dribbles in. Shot blocked. Oh, my goodness. What a rejection by Anthony Edwards to save the game. 113-111. Wolves win. Wolves win. Anthony Edwards. Oh, my. What a block.
So Anthony Edwards is one of my favorite quotes in the NBA. He's such an exciting player, and he's a great player, obviously, for that franchise. And obviously, my apologies, that was on the Timberwolves radio network. But let's hear Anthony Edwards talk about his game-saving block.
I hit my head, I think, on the rim. It's hurting real bad. And I landed on my wrist, but, I mean, you know, I saw him with the lane. I knew he was going for the layup, and I was just like, man, I'm finna go get this. I ain't never jumped that high in my life.
Let's keep it in the NBA. Let's go to Brian Windhorst, Windy on ESPN. Jason Tatum, according to Windy, last night in the L up against the Denver Nuggets, lost the MVP.
Yep. Jason Tatum's MVP case is over. It is not happening. This has been a brutal, brutal 3 days for an MVP case for Jason Tatum. And 3 days in March doesn't make the season. He comes into this game. Everybody is into this game. Jaylen Brown came out with fire in his eyes from the opening tip. You've got Michael Malone stomping up and down the sideline like it's a game seven. And you got Jason Tatum having as many turnovers as baskets. No, you can't be the MVP and perform that way in these games. And he's had a number of disappointments in the clutch.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Windy has that same energy if that was LeBron who had a performance like that last night? Stu, you look like you gave me a pretty quick no.
Yeah, absolutely not. If it was LeBron, it'd be a totally different. I think there's a different standard for like a Tatum who's never done it, and people are kind of not believers in him yet. So I think definitely if it was LeBron, it'd be different.
But so I think there's a difference in saying someone shouldn't win an MVP and then not believing in them. Like Tatum, I know Sam after a few weeks ago was like, he's the ninth best player in the NBA or whatever he said. I think he's a little bit better than that. And he's had some great moments, but I guess his comp would be like Josh Allen. That's what I would say, where Josh Allen is one of the best at what he does. Jason Tatum is one of the best at what he does. He's one of the best players in the league, period. End of conversation. But you haven't won a championship. And he's been close. He's even been closer than Josh Allen, because at least the Celtics got to the final round. But when you are someone that is so exceptional and you have your entire career right in front of you, and there's not a lot to criticize about outside of winning a championship, that's kind of turns into a bigger situation than where it needs to be. So that's what I'll say about that. All righty. So yesterday, here's the weird part. So we talked about the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. And I remember 2 years ago where somehow Shep was on the air and he was talking about how he would beat Mike Tyson in a fight. And I remember DA, when he was here, clowned him. I clowned him. I thought it was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And Shep's whole premise was that if he had to train a year for a fight with Mike Tyson, he would take it seriously. And because he's a marathon runner, that now the world-class athlete of David Shepard would be able to dance around in the ring and be able to outlast Mike Tyson. What I told Shep then is what I'll say once again. One punch with Tyson will be able to land on you because you're not a fighter. You'd be dead, all right? Or you'd be in the hospital. So Sampter exploded yesterday over this. And now I get thrown in the middle over Sampter's rant. And Shep's going after me. And I was called unprofessional last night. And let me remind everybody, this is on the Bart Winkler show, not the Good Shepherd show. Here is Shep calling you boy unprofessional.
If you're going to talk about me and you're going to put me down and you're going to make fun of my voice, at least extend the courtesy to me as another professional in this company to have me on your show and have a conversation. But don't use two segments to slam me. If you want to be a professional about this, be an adult, and don't just use your show to try to put me down.
Yes, that's what we set out to do yesterday. In our pre-show meetings, I said to Sampter, we need to take a shot at David Shepherd. And we need to take David Shepherd down. Like, come on, Shep. You can't think that highly of yourself. This was an impromptu conversation yesterday.
I actually remember talking about it before the show, and I was twisting my mustache. Yes, yeah. Let's take down Shep.
Really? He's the sensitive Shepherd. And I didn't even make fun of his voice yesterday. And you should be flattered if people imitate you.
And he's calling you out. I'm the one who's going off on him. He didn't say my name once.
You know, this Gil guy, he's just going after the way that I talk and my voice, and he's making fun of me.
It was Sampter for crying out loud. Now, Shep goes from, this is how delusional he is. He may be Shep the Stu Knot, if we're being honest. He goes from saying, I could beat Mike Tyson in a fight, and now he's going, like, hitting down there in that conversation, going from Tyson, all right, at least it's a crazy take, and now he's saying he could beat me in a fight. Go ahead.
So you're challenging Zach Gelb to a fight?
No, I'm not challenging Zach Gelb to a fight. I
think you guys need to fight.
No, I don't want to fight.
I'll be the ref. I'll be Mills Lane.
I don't want to fight him. I would win if we fought, but I don't want to fight him. Now, with that being said,
oh boy,
I would win. I would beat Zach Gelb in a fight.
No, you wouldn't.
I would beat Zach Gelb in a fight. I'm a better athlete than he is. I am, Bart.
Being a better athlete doesn't mean you're a better fighter. Like, Nate Robinson was a better athlete than David Shepherd. Jake Paul still KO'd Nate Robinson. I don't think anyone says Jake Paul's a better athlete than Nate Robinson. And now Shep is this world-class athlete. Why? Because he's run a few marathons? Now, not to brag, I played high school football. Not to brag, believe it or not, I ran 5 5Ks in my life. Does that make me a great athlete? Like, give me a break. And once again, just because you're a great athlete doesn't mean you're a great fighter. And Shep, if we got into a ring, I would drag you around the ring. It would not end well. You would not beat me in a fight. You could lock that up. You could seal, sign, and deliver it. That is a guarantee. Here is Shep just getting bashed on the show he's producing by Bart Winkler and Marco Belletti.
The only time you've ever really sounded stupid.
Well, thank you, because the other show called me a jackass.
When you say,
well, you
I'm in the prime
like a
of
jackass.
My athletic career.
And I am, because I hosted. Wait a second. I hosted a five-hour show here. After. I went and ran 26.2 miles in the New York City Marathon. I get the fact that this guy is an efficient athlete.
I'm embarrassed to be a part of this.
Bart, here's the thing.
Bart, here's the thing. His own show is laughing at him. That I don't need to say anything more. I think we just dropped the mic.
And also, it's so clear what Shep is trying to do. He loves when we talk about him. And then he goes, oh, why don't you invite me on the show? Why would we invite you on the show? Like, if we needed a question about the NBA, maybe we would call you. But to hear this two-year thing that you do where you say you could beat Mike Tyson in a fight, it's entertaining for us because we get to make fun of it because it's so stupid. You don't actually believe that. You know what? I'll put Shep on this show to have a lie detector test and ask him if he actually believes he could beat Mike Tyson in a fight. Because this is just Shep's shtick. That's what it is. There's no way he actually believes it. And you know what? It's disrespectful to the listening audience. Because he must think the listening audience and all of us here are stupid. He thinks we're probably dumb because we listen and go, oh, listen to this guy on the radio. He says he could beat Mike Tyson and he's this world-class athlete. So he must be able to do that. All righty. That's enough. I think we're putting a ban on mentioning the name Shep for at least 1 month.
I won't say the name, but I will say this. I listened to that full segment that they did last night. I 100% believe, after hearing that, that Shep believes that he could beat Mike Tyson. This isn't shtick. This isn't hot take.
Okay.
This is a delusional guy who legitimately thinks he could beat the greatest heavyweight of our generation.
Well, then I believe Shep is a moron. That's what I believe. Nice guy, but a moron. Because you just can't fix that level of stupid when you think you could beat Mike Tyson in a fight and you are David Shepard and you never fought anybody in your life.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Hey, everybody, I'm Mark Schanowski, along with one of the NBA's most popular analysts, Stacey King. We're inviting you to join us on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast.
So join us every week here in the Hot Sauce Studios, where we'll be talking about basketball, football, MMA, entertainment, and unique viewpoints from a group of sports experts having a few brews. That's right. Listen up on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.